I want to share with you today kind of where we've been and where we're going. Just a recap, we are in this series, Rooted in Worship, and we kicked this whole series off really talking about who we are in God's eyes. If we're not really going to approach God in worship and praise, if we have a faulty understanding of what he thinks of us. And so we made sure we came to a point of understanding God loves us dearly, in a precious way, an intimate way, and he has a lot to say about us. And I would encourage you, there's a sheet in the foyer that says God's decrees on it. I would encourage you to pick that up and meditate on those scriptures of what God says about you. And then we kind of moved into this idea that you and I have certain responsibilities when it comes to worship, but those responsibilities come to the fact that God has given us an identity, and that identity is we are priests. We are priests, which seems really heavy duty and lofty, but the reality is priests are presence bearers. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We have the presence of God in us. And when we gather like this in a room, we're a bunch of presence bearers coming together, and we're coming together to worship. We're coming together to build a throne of praise for our King. And so all of these things are taking place, and we looked at 1 Peter 2:5. You'll see the scripture on the screen. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We also talked about last week, Pastor Carrie and I shared the opportunity to talk about what are some hindrances to worship, and really kind of pulled that down to this idea of maybe a faulty being afraid of God and what God might think of you, or really settling for the counterfeit ideas of what man might think of us, and fear of man that might prohibit us really from coming before God and praising him. And I just want to further move on to that, and today what we're talking about is the role of the Holy Spirit when it comes to worship. So right off the bat, it feels really mechanical for me to say that the Holy Spirit has a role in worship, because I feel like that reduces, it's like you click a button and the Holy Spirit shows up. But the Holy Spirit is more than just fulfilling a role in worship, but nothing happens without the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens in this room, nothing happens in your heart without the work of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that Christians believe about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that Christians believe regarding the Holy Spirit and worship. In fact, if you hear certain songs, like there's this old refrain, you'll see some songs up here on the screen, but I don't know how many of you are familiar with the one on the left. It's an old one. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power, come in thine own gentle way. There's some things implied about the Holy Spirit when you sing words like that. So the Spirit is sweet, right? But yet the Spirit is powerful and strong, gentle, and come, sweet Spirit, I need you. I need you. So there's something said about we need the Holy Spirit. Okay. Or when Maverick City sings, come down, Spirit. When you move, you make my heart pound when you fill the room. You're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Okay, so there's a lot of implications in those words. The Spirit makes us feel something. The Spirit fills a room. The Spirit fills us. There's a lot of things said in those words. Or when Hannah Hobbs sings, all the noise dies down, Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. So somehow, the Spirit speaks in the silence, and we hear from God in the midst of that. So Christians throughout 2,000 years have anticipated that when we gather like this, that the Holy Spirit would show up, that the Holy Spirit would be doing something. And Scripture tells us that the Spirit just present whenever we gather. Wherever two or three are gathered, the Lord is there. I mean, there's just a reason for us to believe and acknowledge right now that the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in this place. The question is not if, it's yes. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here, dwelling both within us as individuals and us corporately. As the church, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good. We are here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what is it then that we're asking the Holy Spirit to do when a room full of priests get together. What do we expect the Holy Spirit to do when we're here? Again, let me remind us of the definition of worship that we've been looking at. Worship is love that is expressed. It's expressed verbally, physically, emotionally. It's expressed in our heart. It's expressed in our head. It's given. It's communicated. It's from us to something or someone. That's worship. And it's love that is expressed. It's expressed God's way. So love expressed God's way is love that's expressed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And so just briefly this morning, what I want to do, I just want to highlight several aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit when we gather. What can you and I consistently expect the Holy Spirit to do when we gather together? And the first is this, very simply, the Holy Spirit enables our worship. It enables us to worship. Here's the truth. You and I would not even want to offer praise if the Spirit weren't already at work in our lives. It's not something that we would automatically want to do. The Holy Spirit works that in us. One time Jesus, he's speaking to a woman. It's the woman at the well, Samaria. He shows up, and it's a conversation between Jesus and this woman. And there's some deflection that goes on in this conversation. It's an awkward conversation a little bit. But ultimately, it turns to worship. It gets hijacked a little bit. And it goes off the rails, and there's this kind of conversation about worship. And Jesus kind of brings it back, and he says this. He says in John 4, "The hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth." In spirit and in truth. "For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So can I summarize that? It's the Spirit of God that is at work in our hearts who ignites praise and worship. In fact, long before you ever sought after God, he was already at work through the work of the Holy Spirit drawing you to him. Anything that we do, any praise that we offer, any worship that we offer is being, in a sense, drawn out of us by the work of the Holy Spirit already at work. Already at work. There's a guy named John Webster, he once wrote this, "Praise is not natural." Praise is not natural. We can't just turn on the tap and just be like, well, we're just kind of going along, and all of a sudden we hit the light switch, and boom, I'm going to turn on my praise. It's not natural. We can't just turn on the tap and let it flow, he says. It's something that God works in us. It's something that God works in us. So in a very real way, the Holy Spirit is drawing praise out of us when we gather here together. When we gather here together, it originates with him. But that also means that the Holy Spirit assures us. The Holy Spirit assures us. Some of you need to know and experience God's embrace today. Even yesterday when we were at the women's breakfast, I was so grateful for what Pastor Melissa Bressa from Duneland Church shared with the ladies yesterday morning about rest and about self-care and about understanding that God loves you just, again, with this everlasting love. But sometimes we forget that. We don't stop long enough to remember that. And sometimes in a setting like this, the Holy Spirit is able to remind you that God is here wrapping his arms around you even right now. And some of us forget that sometimes. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us. We need the Holy Spirit to help us feel God's embrace when we come together like this. Can I be vulnerable for a second? Is that okay? So there's been a number of times in my adult life where I've just completely felt 100% insufficient for what I needed to do. I'm sure you've heard the, I'm done with adulting right now. That's not what I mean. That's just weird. But it's more of, I just literally feel like, man, this thing that is being asked of me right now, I'm 100%. I'm insufficient. I'm not good enough. I don't have the ability, don't have the capability. I'm weak. I have faults. And this thing is so big, I have zero ability to understand how I'm even remotely sufficient for this. Why would God expect? I mean, I'm going to fail. And in those moments, I need reassurance. I need reassurance. One of those moments for me, again, just vulnerably, just saying, it was 2018. My father had died. I had gone to go see him, and when I woke up in the morning, I found him. He was dead. And within an hour, everything in my life flipped upside down. This happened 4 hours from where I lived, where I have a family and a church and responsibilities and children to get to school and a wife who has a job and all of these things and people that are dependent upon me. And I've got this thing that goes on 4 hours south of me that totally took my life. So compounded by the grieving factor, compounded by the fact that I'd lost my mom 6 years earlier, I was, as the oldest child, all of a sudden, all of this stuff was sat into my hands. And it was a Thursday morning. And all of a sudden, I was stuck. And so by Saturday morning, I had taken care of as much as I knew how to take care of, on zero sleep, got in the car, drove back home. And I remember very distinctly walking through, finally, the front door of my house in Racine, Wisconsin, and being greeted by my children first, and then my wife. And because Shelley is who Shelley is, she knew in that moment exactly what I needed. I did not need her to say, it's going to be okay. I didn't need her to say, this is no big deal. You've got this covered. It's going to be. What I needed was just literally somebody to hold me. I needed somebody to embrace me and be like, I'm here. I'm here. Tomorrow's going to be another day, and then another day after that. I needed somebody just to let me know it was okay for me to be in their presence and them to be in my presence, and then just to embrace me. Just to embrace me. I don't know who needs to hear this, but God wants to do more for you than just fill your mind with good things. He wants to fill your heart. He wants to fill your heart. We ask the Spirit to come so that we might feel, yes, that we might feel God's adopting love for us as sons and daughters. It's a powerful love, His embrace. Galatians 4:6 says, you are His sons. God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. We need to experience that embrace. I'm jealous. I'll be honest. I need that embrace from my Heavenly Father. You are personally, passionately, specifically loved by your Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit assures us of that when we gather here in worship. I trust, I hope that at some point, even this morning, you sensed God drawing near to you in an adopting way, in an embracing way, saying you're His. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The Holy Spirit also does something unique when we gather like this. The Holy Spirit does unify us. Unifies us. And it's very important for us to understand some things right now. It's the Holy Spirit who does the unifying. It is the Holy Spirit that does the unifying. Ephesians 4 says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That does not say anything about you and I creating unity. We already have unity in the bond of peace through Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, and the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work in every single believer's life, knitting us together. Okay? We have a unity that transcends any division. The walls of division, according to Ephesians as well, have been torn down. Okay, so there is a unity. What you and I are asked to do is participate with the Spirit in protecting that unity. in protecting that, and being reminded by the Spirit the things that actually do unite us. And listen, if you want to know how ununified people in the world are today, this last week might be one of the most glaring examples I've seen in a long, long time. A long time. Spend 2 minutes on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. We're in the middle of wars, political turmoil, arguments about what to name a holiday last Monday. I mean, there are arguments and divisions about anything, and you've heard me say over and over again that the pattern of this world is division. It goes all the way back to the garden. Did God really say? What's Satan doing? Dividing us from God, creating that division. And I want to be careful about what I'm about to say. Yes, we are praying for all kinds of different things right now. I really would just implore you, when it comes to Israel and Palestine, when it comes to the United States involvement in what's going on, when it comes to Hamas, the Gaza Strip, when it comes to the West Bank, when it comes to all of the different dynamics at work in all of it. This is a multi-layered thing that has ramifications that go back decades and centuries. And there are so many nuances and so many things going on. Here's some things that we do know. There are all kinds of people's lives right now being destroyed. These are all people created in the image of God. We don't decide that. They're all created in the image of God. Those that try to protect other people are created in the image of God. And I can't help but go back to the Beatitudes. I want to hear the words of Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of the words of Jesus. Not a Facebook feed, not a news station trying to figure out how to outwit some other news station and convince us that there's a whole bunch of people to blame. Okay? There is the reality that we live in a world where there is power and there are principalities. And our fight is not against flesh and blood, okay? But at the same time, too, we have to remember, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for his name's sake. Blessed are the meek. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for your enemies. I understand that sounds weak to some. I think you're highly mistaken. Highly mistaken. I think one of the most brutal acts of love that can be cast upon anything is to love even so. And he's done that for us. Pray. Pray for Israel. Pray for Palestine. Pray for everybody. Pray for our troops. Pray for everybody that's involved. We pray for peace. We pray for healing. And I love you, and I hope you hear this from a pastor's heart. I really do. You can send me as many memes as you want to. Those are not conversations. You can send me Facebook posts and stories to read. Those are not conversations. I don't necessarily think that you're anybody that needs to stand in correction or education, and I hope you don't think I'm somebody that needs to stand in correction or education. We are people who are already united by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to hear what he says about not just this situation, but any situation. And as priests, again, we steward the meeting place of God with man. We have the Spirit at work in our lives. Let's be open to what the Spirit says to us in the midst of all of that. All that to say, when we gather, we don't work to be unified. We're here to protect the unity that's already been done in us and for us. We're challenged by the Spirit to drop the things that divide and cling to the things that unite us. Now, that doesn't mean we check discernment at the door. You know, we're all supposed to be discerning and use wisdom and knowledge and on all kinds of different things. But ultimately, we keep the unity of the Spirit. Can our unity be strengthened and deepened? Absolutely. But you and I do not produce that. We are so dependent on the Holy Spirit. I mean, the fact that God came up with the plan of, let's just take a whole lot of messed up people. We have different ideas about all kinds of things, and let's put them in the same room. And let's show the world what this looks like when the Spirit is at work. That this group of people would literally just hold these other things so lightly and declare their unity as one through the work of the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't know what to do with that. The world doesn't know what to do with that. We need to protect that. All of that to say, we love others with a love that transcends news feeds and patterns of this world, and it happens because the Holy Spirit also transforms us. The Holy Spirit changes us. If you want to know the evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a worship service, it's changed lives. It's changed lives. Make no mistake, it's not because you changed. It's because the Spirit is present and has changed you as you have yielded more and more of your life to Him. We don't change because you managed to grab one of those papers on the way in and you filled in all the blanks. That does not change you. Okay, you might feel some satisfaction. I love marking things off on a list. But that's not what changes you. Okay, not because you've tried harder or done all of those different things. The Spirit changes us as we behold the glory of Christ in the gospel and His word. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all of us with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works to set us free and transform us more into the image of Jesus Christ as we gather and praise and worship Him. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that. You're going to hear a few of these stories next week about what happens when people yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in their life and God does a transforming work. The Holy Spirit wakes us up as well. The Holy Spirit wakes us up. In that video earlier, which I love, and if you couldn't figure it out, the Holy Spirit is the one dancing around, touching people's lives, waking people up. You see the Spirit in that room lifting somebody's head, removing somebody's distraction, opening somebody's ears, okay? More times than I can count, I've sat under the faithful preaching and teaching of God's Word, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up, opens my ears, opens my eyes to something that I never saw before, never heard before, and it has something to do with my own heart, it has something to do with my own life, something that I need to be processing and allowing God to have reign over in my own life. That's the Spirit at work. Apart from the Spirit's work in us, even Scripture is meaningless. It's something we can educate ourselves about, but it's the Spirit who speaks through the Word of God to us and shows us exactly what we need to hear. That's how the Word works. 1 Corinthians 2:12, we've received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us from God. We're not on our own to figure out what God wants us to do. We're not on our own to figure out what God is saying to us. The Holy Spirit is active, alive, and well, speaking to us through those things. Through those things. So we need to open our hearts to receive God's truth, because God also reveals His presence when He's with us. For our good, God lets us know He's here. For God's glory, the Spirit at times will make us aware that God is with us, inexplicably, wondrously, mercifully. His presence brings conviction, peace. His presence brings joy. Have you ever been in a service and just experienced pure joy, peace? Sometimes the Spirit's presence makes itself known by pushing us to repentance, to lament, to confession and prayer. We pray for more of the Spirit's presence among us when we gather. Why? Well, so that we might experience more of Him, yeah, but we also pray for more presence so that Jesus might be glorified more. That Jesus might be glorified more. So how should you and I, as a priest, respond to all of that? Number 7, the Holy Spirit empowers our worship. It empowers worship. So if God is enabling you to worship, if God's the one drawing you here, if God's the one giving you a voice to praise, and if God is pulling that out of you, drawing you in, assuring you of who you are in Him, If the Spirit is unifying us through the sacrifice of Jesus and transforming us more into the image of Jesus, and if the Spirit is waking us to the things of God, making His presence known to us, then we respond as priests whom the Holy Spirit is empowering to worship. Again, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the common good. The common good. As a priest, you are a presence bearer. You're a presence bearer. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You believe that? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You steward the meeting place of God and man. As fellow presence bearers, we gather in this place, each of us empowered by the Holy Spirit for worship. For worship. And the key in that verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this. We each come worshiping with our gifts for the common good. For the common good. We are here. We are here to praise, and somehow God, through His Spirit, empowers each of us so that it isn't just beneficial for you when you come, but the Spirit somehow takes what you bring and what you bring and what I bring. Somehow God uses all of that, brings it together for the common good of the body, of the body. And as a result of that presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst, the result of being empowered in worship, we bear the fruit. We bear the fruit of the Spirit who enables, inhabits, empowers, and equips our praises. So as we close this, let me say this. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells His listeners that you'll know people by their fruit. By their fruit. People would be known by their fruit. As we close, I think it's good to be reminded of this. The essence of true worship is not external. It's internal. Heart, head, spirit, truth. Whether we're talking all of life as worship, wherever you are at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, or corporate gatherings like this for worship, worship is one of those areas where the gifts of the Spirit create opportunity for God's people, not just to minister to Him, but also minister to each other. And there are many gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in Scripture. Yet even then, the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest gift that you and I have that's produced in us and given to us through the work of the Holy Spirit is love. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisemaker. A resounding gong, he says, or I'm a clanging cymbal. So if I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge. If I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I got nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship, if I do those things, he says, that I may boast. If I work myself so hard and then I make sure everybody knows I do. If I do all of that stuff, but I don't have love, I get nothing out of that. He goes on to describe all these attributes of love, but then he says this, love, it just never fails. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, he says, they're going to cease. Where there are tongues, they're going to be silenced. Where there is knowledge, it's going to pass away. He says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these. It's love. It's love. In the end, the fruit of Spirit-filled worship always has been and always will be a greater capacity of love of God and love of others. That is the fruit of Spirit-filled worship. As a staff, we feel so strongly about this that this is something that we revisit on a really regular basis. This is always in front of us. And as a body of believers, you should know this. We've articulated some of our staff values. There are various things And basically, these are just kind of things that we keep coming back to. Things like we're motivated by what matters, and the mission is what matters. So that's what motivates us. We practice the art of fun because none of us take ourselves too seriously. Here's a really important one. We lead people. I lead people. I don't lead a ministry. Pastor Ben, Pastor Carrie, Pastor Travis, we don't lead ministries. We lead people. We lead people. We're a team that puts we before me. We're authentic. People outside of our ministry areas know us. We keep short accounts. We pray for one another. We get to do this. These are the things that we revisit on a regular basis. There's one in there that's really important, though. And I think it's important for every follower of Jesus. It's this: gifts without graces lead to ego. We elevate the fruit of the Spirit. We elevate the fruit of the Spirit. Love that is seen in joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. That's what the Spirit wants to nurture in us when we gather here in a group like this. When we come as fellow presence bearers, when we come as people seeking to offer and build this throne of praise for the one who saves us. The end result is that the fruit that we experience from Him, the fruit we experience from each other, the fruit that this world experiences from a body of Christ that is protecting the unity and the Spirit that God has given us, is this amazing, amazing outpouring of peace and joy and love and love. So may God inhabit our praises that much more. That much more. And my prayer for you today as you stand, go ahead and stand, is that even as we leave this place today, you would get a sense that you've been embraced by the God of creation. The one who spoke and worlds came into existence. The one who gave us the living word. The one who's the Spirit of truth, Jesus. And I pray that you feel His embrace today. He loves you. He loves you. Can I pray for you? Father, as we draw this to a close, as we get ready to leave this place, I pray today that, Father, the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. I pray that, Father, as we leave this place still embraced by the love of a Father who would give His own Son, that we would recognize, Father, your Spirit's work in us and through us. And that, Father, we would never walk through these doors anticipating anything less than you already being at work, you drawing us here, you filling our hearts and our mouths with words of praise and edification, not only for you, but for one another. We are your church. We are your church, the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Fill us with your Spirit today. Fill us even now as we glorify you. It is in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.